There's controversy this morning about the weather. Now, as you know, my wife, the lucky Kate, hangs off every word I say about the weather, right? We've got four different temperatures.
To, I think it's fair to say.
She caught me out lying because she said one day, this is a few years ago.
Well, I don't know if you were lying.
Well, I was just making it up because I couldn't be bothered. No, I did for a while. I just used to pluck a number and say it. And
what?
Well, because I thought everyone
on this show.
Yeah, everyone looks up their own weather these days, don't they?
Well, why say it then?
Well, I don't know. I heard other people on radio do it, and I thought, gee, that sounds
important.
You
just made up numbers. How do you expect people to trust you if you're going to do stuff like that?
Well, I don't. Anyway, Kate caught me out, and she said, "In future, please tell the truth." So I've heeded her message, but this morning, this is for my beautiful wife. I've read where it's 27 degrees. You've said 26 degrees. Sean Maynard and you said, no, it's 23. We're having this discussion this morning. We've got four different temperatures. Where do we go now to get the
somewhere in the middle.
So we're good, do an average.
Maybe.
All right, or a median.
Must be changing.
Right, the median temperature
must
today
be something happening.
Is 24. Well, I don't know, but mine's the app on my phone. And then the bureau's giving
you
something.
Yeah, you go to bomb, you can't be any better than that.
So look, to you, everyone, and especially Lucky Kate this morning, because it's all about, do I take a cardigan to work or don't I, all of that. Could be 23, but it could be 27.
You know you're getting old when you mention cardigans.
Somewhere in between, all right?
All I can tell you is it's going to rain at the end of the week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The ant.
Triple M's ruined it for breakfast. From Adelaide to around the world, the top three things you need to know.
All right, our government here in South Australia, very controversial decision a few months ago to get rid of the Adelaide 500.
Super loop.
So there's been a rally, and a couple of the supercar drivers got involved, Tim Slade and Nick Percat. There was a rally in the city yesterday. Here's Tim Slade.
No, I think it was disappointing for everyone in the industry. You know, no doubt it's the biggest and best event on the supercars calendar.
Now, Peter Malinauskas, a leader of the opposition, had this to say.
We made money for our state, we delivered jobs for our state, and that's exactly why I'm bringing it back if we win government.
Now, I've read this morning as well, Corey Wingard is standing firm. He's the sports minister in South Australia. He said, we will not be bringing it back under this current government.
Big, brave call, that one. Big, brave call, because it wasn't a popular one at all.
No.
Was it? Even though it was on the decline.
Yeah, not in a big way, though. Still big crowd.
Numbers were huge. Drops. From 300 under 200.
Yeah, but all right. How many events do you run in Adelaide that pulls over 200,000 people?
Yeah, but
I'd still run it.
It was making a significant loss.
Well, hang on. They're saying that it made a profit. Peter Mellon, can we just hear him again?
We made money for our state. We delivered jobs for our state. And that's exactly why I'm bringing it back if we win government.
I think he means made money by a state by bringing money into it, but at the government's expense. They've said the whole way it was cost 45 to put on and they got 38 million in activity or whatever. So, I mean, why would they stop it if it was making money?
Yeah, good question. Yeah. No, I get it.
Anyway, we're going to hear more about it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Definitely, because there's lots of people wanting to get back into South Australia in some way, shape or form. So we'll see what happens. The vaccination of corona in the UK is well and truly underway. Unlike in Australia, they are into it and they're getting good results. Now, this is good news for everyone because people are a bit worried the fact that the COVID, the virus is changing and there's different strains and everything. Will the vaccination work? Well, it is working in the UK. I think if you're over 80, it's working in, it's cut positives by 36% and in the 20 age group, it's by 50%.
Right,
so they're having some great results over there. Touch wood, hopefully that continues.
So it was announced over the weekend that all of us can be or will be vaccinated by Christmas of this year, free of charge.
Yep, the same majority will be done by end of October, I think, and it's going to start late February, early March at a cost of $1.9 billion to the taxpayer.
Yep. Kay San.
We had a bit of fun with her last week, with all the puns and everything, but she went just one bit too far on the weekend, didn't she?
Why?
She knocked off petrol from Wakery.
Oh, no, not Wakery.
You can't do that. Oh. We've only got two petrol stations in Wakery, and she's knocked off, she's filled up and done a runner. She was spotted at Kingston on Murray in a stolen car. Now, You're pretty stiff to get spotted at Kingston. There's not a lot of people around at Kingston. So she got done there, but she didn't really take the back track, did she, Ditz? Like, you can only go on that highway. Mm. Not that hard to catch.
If I was to be a high-profile criminal, I'd want to go where there are large numbers. Just
get, you know, on the back road.
Get lost
or
in the crowd. Don't go to a small town where you're standing. Oh, I haven't
Kingston,
seen her here before.
Waikerie. Yeah. Blanchetown. New. Yeah. So, I wonder where she's going to be next.
A bit of advice for would-be robbers: go where the numbers are.
Well. She's going to have a little holiday for a while.
All right. Now, just finally, Roo, in our top three making news around the place, have a listen to this story about Subway.
Subway is facing a lawsuit in California over its tuna. The complaint says multiple independent lab samples prove the tuna is, quote, made from anything but tuna. It reportedly reveals the tuna is a, quote, mixture of various concoctions that does not even contain fish.
Well, it tastes like tuna. Now, I actually had two, because, you know, this body that I'm trying to knock into shape at the moment.
Yeah.
So having salad for lunch, twice last week I had tuna salad at Subway. What? Stuff so what am I eating?
It what, just what follows are, you, some what of these weird bloody, things, doesn't it?
What are they feeding me if it's not tuna? Tastes like tuna. Smells like tuna.
Something a bit fishy about this story.
Yeah.
So it's not tuna?
No.
Surely Subway can't try and get away with that. Imagine bringing that up at a board meeting.
Mm.
Let's just try and put something in there that smells like it, like it.
Are you really going to save that much money? I can't believe they've done this. I think it's a beat up.
A beat up?
Mm. Well, as I said, I had it last week and it's beautiful. Tastes just like tuna.
And do you eat tuna in other places?
Yeah.
Taste exactly the same?
I had tuna last night at home.
Did you?
My own, yeah. So anyway,
there you go. Out of a can?
Out of a can.
And it tasted the same?
Similar. Yep.
Similar. All right, Subway.
All right.
You'll get done.
G'day, this is John Farmer.
Hello, Roboy.
On Triple M's Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
Not really enough from argument, boys.
It's time for Monday Talkback.
Oh, we didn't get to do it last week, did we? I've missed our callers. Let's see who we've got up there first.
Yeah, I wonder who the first caller is. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, go, Ruko, Jits, how you going?
Hey, Mars Murray.
How are you? I'm really well. Look, are you blokes enjoying the AFLW?
Look, I haven't seen any of it
not
myself.
Not too much yet. Yeah, I saw a little bit on the weekend. What about yourself, Mars?
Yeah, because you know what? Every bloke either says, yeah, I'm really enjoying it, or, yeah, I haven't seen much of it.
Right.
Yeah, they don't say they're not liking it.
Yeah, no bloke is going to say that. Oh, if the furnace came in the bar.
Yeah.
And Deirdre, who behind the jump, says, hey, Furness, are you enjoying the AFLW? And he looks down at his feet and he says, yeah, I'm enjoying it, Deirdre. And then, and then beer bottle comes in. Deirdre says, are you watching the AFL? Oh, I haven't seen much of it.
Yeah.
Oh, if you do a talk back topic this morning and get blokes to ring in, every bloke will say, well, I haven't seen much of it.
Hey, Mars, I have heard a couple of people say, I watched a half an hour of it.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another good answer, isn't it? But that's
what
I say.
What was the crowd like, Roo? Because obviously buying tickets for the first time.
I saw a lot of the crowds. I saw between 2,000 and 3,000 or 4,000, the ones I saw.
Okay.
I think they were more at regional ovals and stuff on the weekend.
Yeah. But, hey, why do you call your mate the Furnace?
Oh, well, when it's his shout, he always goes out.
Goes out, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Good one.
And when the Furnace came in, he reckons he comes in the pub and there's this Telstra worker out in the street. He says, hey, mate, you got the time? And the Telstra bloke looks at him and says, oh, yeah, sometime between 8 a.m. and midday.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. All right. Thanks, Mars.
See you, Mars.
Talk to you again soon. No.
We know that. Right. We know that. All right, let's see who our second caller is. Hello, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Is Christopher there?
I am here. Is that you, Helen?
It's Helen from Hindley
Street. Hello, Helen. Good morning.
G'day, Helen.
I'm just going to have to postpone your appointment, Christopher.
Well, look, I haven't got an appointment, but if I did, why would we have to postpone it?
I have blisters on my hand.
No!
No, really?
Helen!
Really? Now, funnily enough, Novak had blisters on his hands.
He come back and played. Why can't you?
Christopher, I know you're very good at your racket sports.
Right.
Why is the man in isolation? Why does he have blisters on his hands?
That's a very good question.
Holy.
Alan's gone.
Must have played a lot of computer games with a joystick or something.
We got time for one more call, Ruth.
I think we have. Hello, good morning.
Oh, she makes a pretty good point, doesn't she?
Yeah, Texan.
She's funny, that hell. Is she open? Is she? Is she back in Hindley?
Oh, yeah.
Business is thriving.
You can get the number off Dits if you like.
No, she's got a
new, she got a new joint. She went around Australia or something, didn't
she? Massage anyway, without borders.
That's right, massage, Hey, I've got another one, boys. Little Louie.
Yeah, well done, mate.
Huey and Louie.
And great photo yesterday with you and Sloane side by side in bed feeding the babies.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He said, I said to Ellie, I said, why is the name? Why would we put an S on the end? I mean, you don't need that there, do you?
Yeah, not really, Louie, no.
What's the S doing there?
Yeah, good question.
Do you reckon it should be there or not?
Well, because people then might think it might be Lewis.
Yeah, it's a silent S, Tex. You know, a lot of French names have a silent S, don't they, at the end of them?
Well, why is that?
Well, I don't know.
Tex is certainly not French, is
he? No.
Anyway, we might go for a double appointment in the old, area. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Snipperoni.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you're not ready yet, are you?
I don't know.
Nah.
Well, one of the blokes said to me, he said, what does a bloke with a 12-inch one have for breakfast? And I just said, I don't know. And he looked at me and said, oh, this morning I had bacon and eggs, a couple of hash browns. Anyway, boys.
All right.
Look, I won't care. I'm coming in tomorrow, aren't I?
Are you back tomorrow? You back tomorrow? You beauty.
I think I'm back on tomorrow.
All right. Good stuff.
I'll talk about some other stuff tomorrow. But, I've got a joke for you.
Okay.
What's red in colour and bad for your teeth?
Red in colour and bad for your teeth.
What?
Yeah. A brick.
I would have thought so. Yeah. All right. We'll see you tomorrow, Tex. That's all we got time for. He loves his own jokes, doesn't he? With Monday Talkback. Ruined it on Triple M. Oh, hello on this Monday morning. Did you have a big weekend, Roo?
I had a good weekend, just cruising around Adelaide doing bits and pieces, had a few beers on Saturday, and that's about it.
Ah, very good. Hey, later on this morning, we're going to talk about cheats.
Mm.
This bloke on the World Golf Tour has been caught cheating again.
Numerous times.
Yeah,
they hate him.
Reed. What's his name?
Yeah, Reed will do.
Reedy.
He's been caught, but gee, they just think they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, I know. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Your favourite show at the moment, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. What's happened?
She's all over Red Rover. So that's finished last night. We're going to have a chat to Grant Denyer later on in the show, who didn't win, but is one of the most popular men on the show. It's a good group of contestants. So we'll have a chat to Grant Denyer later on.
We spoke to Dipper last week, didn't we? Who was going to pummel Grant Denyer one stage. But he didn't. Patrick Reed's the golfer. That's
Patrick.
Patrick, yeah. Okay. Hey, Roo, these proposed fishing law changes that I'm reading about today, they want to charge you. You've got to have a permit to go and put a rod in the water, all right?
Yes.
Drop a line.
Yep.
This sounds a bit stupid to me. I'll tell you why, because I fish.
How much fishing do you do?
None. So maybe once a year, if I'm lucky.
If you don't step on your rods.
If I don't step on the rods and break them, as I did last week. Yeah. But so I'm not a huge fisher. We're meant to say fisher these days instead of fisherman.
Mm.
So let's say, hypothetically, old mate out there, his grandson comes to stay for the weekend, and he thinks, what are we going to do with the kid? Tell you what, we'll go down the beach and drop a line and we'll go fishing. And old mate, who's a good bloke, doing the right thing with his little six-year-old grandson, and what, gets tapped on the shoulder by someone and says, where's your permit, mate?
No, he doesn't actually have to. If you're over 60, it'll be free. And if you're under 16, you're free. So it'll be exempt.
You're splitting hairs. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, grandparents are...
Well, say you're not a grandparent. It's me, just the nice old uncle. It's anyone. It's your bigger brother who says, right, I'll take you down and we'll occupy 2 hours and we'll try and catch a crab or catch something.
Yep.
Well, you're going to get tapped on the shoulder. Where's your fishing permit, mate?
Yep, you are. Ridiculous. If you're under... Well, it depends on what you want. If you want the fishing facilities and things to be improved. And
what facilities?
Jetties, boat ramps, all that sort of thing. There's a lack of and fish restocking. They do a lot of restocking over in Victoria. They have done for 20-odd years. And as a result, they've got better fishing because we don't do much of that at all in South Australia. And the other thing, I spoke to Shane Mentzforth about it. He said, we haven't got many fisheries officers in South Australia because they can't afford it. So it's not policed as well as it should.
Hang on. When you say can't afford it, that's just an allocation of money. You can afford it if you allocate the money to it. That's a government resource.
Well, it is, but the money's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, from the government.
Yeah, but there's not a never-ending pit of money for everything there. And so if you did this, it'd raise a couple of million, maybe more than that, and they could pump it back into fishing.
But all right, it's like, I'm sorry to just argue for the hell of it here, but I'm always told too, if you pay your registration, it'll go into our roads. It doesn't. It just ends up in general revenue, and they spend it how they want. So the same would happen with this. They will not allocate the money direct to the fishing.
Well, maybe that's part of a prerequisite to have it, is that they will. I mean, Shane Mensforth, who's fished more than anyone else in South Australia.
Yep.
Keen fisherman for a very, very, very long time thinks we need it.
But again, I'll use the example. If I'm just that once a year fisherman, on a whim, I wake up on a Sunday morning, I think, let's go down and have a bit of fun. Well, I've got to go and through the process of buying a permit, do I?
Yep.
Ridiculous. 133353. What do you think? 133353. Many, many fishers listen to this show. What do you reckon? Give us a call, 133353. I now have to pay to go fishing down on a local jetty or off the beach.
Well, if you keep reversing in the marking poles, you probably do more damage than the $50 anyway.
Oh, for God's sake. 133353. Proposed fishing laws, which will affect so many people, we have to buy a permit now to drop a line in.
Yeah, that's what they're suggesting. And a lot of the people surveyed said they would like that. A lot of people said they wouldn't as well. So it's split. Let's go to Paralowie. G'day, Craig.
G'day, Rude Ditz. How are you?
Good, thanks. Mate. What do you think about it?
Mate, look, I'm a boat owner. I'm a bit disappointed. I don't want to go down the same way as Victoria. In my rego, I pay... boat registration, which also covers boat launching and facilities.
Yep.
Every time you go to launch your boat, you've got to pay again.
Pay to launch your boat?
Of course you pay to launch your boat everywhere you go.
Do you? I haven't launched a boat.
I only fish in the river, so we don't have to do it up there.
So just explain that to us, Craig.
You go to West Beach, you've got to pay, get a ticket. You go to York Peninsula, you pay for a ticket. You go down the South East, you pay for a ticket.
Right.
Hang on, I'm also paying in my boat registration.
Yep. All right. Sounds like you're already paying a few fees. Okay.
So you're against it, Craig, by the sounds of that. Let's go to Kapunda. G'day, Josh.
Hey, boys.
Good, Josh.
I agree with it, to be quite honest.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you think we need it?
Well, you look at all the people down in the jetties across Adelaide taking undersized crabs, undersized fish, not pointing fingers at any particular people. But the more people on the ground or the more licensed fees, you've got police down there actually monitor it so undersized fish aren't getting taken. Also, it's educating people at the same time.
Yep.
But the only thing I'd be against is, like my mate yesterday took his 4 kids fishing. That makes very expensive for a year if they just do it on a whim for one day.
Yeah, they are saying under 16s and over 60s would be free.
Okay, that's perfectly that.
But just on the technicality there, though, the father would have to pay, though, wouldn't he, to fish?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Good on you, Josh. Thanks for that.
Let's go to Kangaroo Island. G'day, Wayne.
Morning, fellas. How you going?
Are you for the new licence or against it?
No, I'm against. Like Craig earlier, he said, we already pay boat launch fees at every ramp, plus rego, plus trailer rego. What about the GST on rods, tackle, bait? Oh, I think we pay enough.
Yeah, and Wayne, just on that, I hadn't even thought of the GST. Do you know, Ruth, this is the biggest sport in the world. They call, if you want to call it a hobby, a sport, a pastime, more people fish than any other sport in the world. So with what Wayne's saying there, every time you go to a tackle shop and buy something, the GST from that is going into the government coffers.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Surrey Downs. G'day, Chris.
G'day, mate.
G'day, Chris. What do you think about it?
Oh, look, when I come in Sydney, that was the end of fishing for me. And, you know, if they bring it in here, you know, I can see the next generation is not doing it as well.
So you had to pay when you were living in Sydney, did you?
Yeah, when I turned 18, 19, something.
So that just turned you off? One payment was enough to... You just did out of principle, did you?
Well, I'm with Chris. You know, they don't put it back in the roads and, you know, it's like you need a full drive around Adelaide now.
All right. Thanks for the call. So
probably 50-50 or a little bit negative. Okay. So what will you do with your boat? Will you get a fishing license if you bring it in?
I'll have to. I mean, if it's the rule, you've got to do it. But, I think it's a bit, as some of the callers said there, we do pay in many other ways as it is.
We do.
And if the government doesn't decide to allocate that money to the fish, well, then why slug us for an extra licence?
Yep, that's interesting. And then you got Shane Mansworth, who fishes all the time, saying we need it.
Fair enough. Breaking news about the Crows women's team. What's happened?
Yeah, they were advised at the airport last night that they're going to have to go into quarantine for 14 days when they get home. So all the girls that played against West Coast on the weekend are all in their houses at the moment awaiting further rules and regulations, which it's just the circus goes on. As
so
I say.
Played the game in Perth. Boarded the flight as we're about to get on. Said, "Oh, by the way, now you're quarantined for 14 days. That'd when be you a get shock, home. Wouldn't it?
Oh, shock! Well, they're supposed to be playing this weekend, so they're now in their homes in quarantine. They're on a charter flight home with the GWS side, so they weren't on a flight with punters from the population. Out there. So
when they get they're now back here. Will they be allowed to leave their homes to train or anything?
Well,
like that?
Well, that's what they're trying to work out. Whether they'll be able to get like an exemption to drive to West Lakes, train, and come back home. But then the flip side to that is when they get down there, they wouldn't be able to go into the rooms. You wouldn't have thought because. I don't know how they're going to work it with the men's because they use the same sort of change room. So all the tricky things that are going to happen again with COVID. So it's a early start of the year. The GWS girls have been here for 3 weeks. I didn't actually realise that.
Well, here in Adelaide.
They're hubbing in Adelaide.
Are they?
Yeah, because of what happened in Sydney a few weeks ago. So, yes, there'll be a busy day today for... all the football people trying to work out what to do.
All right, that's difficult. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Roo, over the last week or two, reading about these Holden cards, unbelievable. The Malu, what sold for over $1 million.
Yes, Holdens are going through the roof everywhere. We're all dreaming about the cars we used to own and thinking we should have put them in the shed.
Chief Operations Officer at Lloyd's Auctions, Lee Hames. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good, good. Thank you. Now, the two cars in question, have you got the prices in front of you? What did they end up going for?
Yes, the Malu Ute, the HSV W1 GDS Malu Ute, sold for $1,050,000.
Wow.
A new record. Holding the back in front, it was $1,030,000 for a GTHO Phase 3. That was a Ford 1970 model, and it's been pipped by Holden's at $1,050,000 for a ute.
And then the last car off the line at Holden's was expected to get a few hundred grand on the weekend. Am I right in saying it went for over 700?
Yeah, it went for $750,000. There were three people, but two people slugging it out in the end. It started at about $200,000 on the day when it went live, and it didn't stop until $750,000. So it was an important car, and it comes from South Australia, and the previous custodian knew it was important, and that was proven on Saturday.
Now, can I ask, were there many bidders for these, or was it down to just a couple? Was there a ton of interest?
Holden have gone absolutely berserk. If GM were listening, I'd say if you could get that Elizabeth plant going again, I reckon we could make you some money. the Holdens are hot as... I have never seen people so enthusiastic about Holdens. It's just fantastic.
So that car that sold for $750,000, what was that off in its day, off the production line, a $50,000 car?
Exactly, about $50,000. And the guy that... the custodian, a good Adelaide man. He had to scrimp and save and sell a couple of things to be able to get it, because he was so convinced this car needed to be saved. And if he hadn't, he'd be driving around the back of New South Wales somewhere with a trailer on it right now at about 170,000 kilometres. You know.
Now, Lee, have you got many people contacting you now as a result of this? Like, are people wanting to sell their Holdens?
Yeah, look, there is. However, and we thought there'd be a flood of that. However, there's more wanting to buy them.
Buying them?
Well, they're people that were passionate about them in the past. You know, people, probably in their 45 to 65, and they've got a strong connection. a lot of investors are now starting to get involved because, you know, you're getting, I guess, 1% or 2% or 0% in the bank right now. Mm. These cars are going up faster than you can. I've got to be careful because they tell me not to give financial advice, so to speak. But, you know, these cars are going up, and what better way to make a bit of money but to have an old car? And, you know, they're certainly not as comfortable to drive as, say, the current cars. Mm. But you know what? Every time I get in a classic, whether it be a Ford or a Holden or an old Valiant or something, it takes me about 60 seconds to get used to it, and then you can't get the smile off my face. It's like going back in time.
Fantastic stuff, Lee. Thanks so much for joining us. Lee Hames there, Chief Operations Officer at Lloyd's Auctions Roo. Have we dropped a bargain here? You had a magnificent Monaro.
I've had heaps of
I had a red Club Sport years ago that was a rocket, and I loved it. Should I have held on to it?
You know what I wouldn't mind doing? Getting him back on one day and have people ring in with the Holdens I've got in the shed and just get him to give a... You know, a quote.
Valuation.
What he reckons it's worth.
Yeah, all right. Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Roo, there are cheaters and there are cheaters.
Yeah, there's cheaters, all right. There's serial cheaters in the world of golf. Patrick Reed is at it again. Social media went into meltdown yesterday when it sort of showed that he was very, very questionable with what he did in a golf tournament on the weekend. The highlights show that he hit a ball, it bounced and ended up in the rough. However, neither he or who he's playing with or the caddies saw the ball bounce. And when he went up there, he thought it was squashed into the ground. Apparently, when that's the case, you can pick it up and have a drop. And but it clearly shows on the replays that it bounced and wasn't the case. So
he landed softly.
Ended up in some other little indentation. So he ended up, he's taken a drop, hit a great shot to the green and ended up having a par.
Yeah.
When it would have been a lot harder to do that.
And he got
that.
Done for cheating, what, 18 months ago or so?
Several times for, pushing out dirt behind his ball in the bunker, which you're not allowed to do. Anyway, everyone's had their say. Even blokes like Greg Norman have said he was repulsed by his behaviour in 2019 in the World Hero Challenge. So he's a serial offender, but cheats just, they're like tight asses, aren't they? They think they're going to get away with it, and they think if they get away with it, they'll be better and, they'll have more respect. But in the end, they're just viewed upon as cheats, and no one wants to be a cheater.
Nah. And in golf, it's a real unique sport where there's an etiquette. And there's just...
you need honesty, don't you, a bit in golf?
Well, you are sort of umpiring or refereeing, whatever you want to say the right word use. You're umpiring yourself.
And there's a lot of space.
And obviously sometimes, like you play the way I do, you hit off into the bushes a lot.
Yeah.
And it's up to you when you're in the bushes to do the right thing. And there are those that do, and unfortunately a small percentage that don't.
Yeah, so have you ever played with any cheats?
Yeah. Play with a couple, unfortunately.
Well, actually, in your team or just at the same club?
In the foursome, yeah. And really? It's hard. It's awkward because at some stage...
You ever fronted someone?
I haven't, but I've been in groups where it's happened. Yeah.
And what do you just start whispering to your mate? I reckon he cheated.
Yeah. And then
he couldn't have had a four.
No, and then it's your responsibility. You're signing their card. You're scoring for them.
Oh, so this is like proper
on a
rigid
Saturday
competition.
Yeah, but I've also had. So I go on two different golf trips throughout the year. I've had a bloke kicked off a golf trip. Never invited back.
What?
Never to come back.
Mate's golf trip.
Yep. Never to come back. Well, you're playing. Never not to come back. Money's important, but you're also playing for money. You, as you know, every time you're on the first tee, you say, "What are we playing for today? Is it $5, $10, whatever?" So as big or as small as the money is, you're cheating your mates out of dough as well. And
so how many blokes on that trip?
About 16.
At tea that night, you've...
No, it was at the end of the trip. Bloke got told, you won't be welcome back. Don't come. And then they deny.
You had to do it.
No, I didn't have to do it. But then they deny. They always deny. They go, I didn't do that.
No, I never did that. No. I actually had a four.
Yeah.
One and a two and two, three and four.
Yeah. And then there's the bloke, and this bloke in particular said, yeah, you actually kicked the ball about 20 metres.
The old foot wedge.
Yeah, the foot wedge.
Oh, that comes out. Yeah. Everyone's got one of them in their buggy. Whether you use it or not, it's up to you. But and there's cheats in cricket and all sorts. We were playing the team, I remember clearly, I won't say who it was.
Well, you played against Cadell a bit.
Yeah, the training centre, the Crims. The only thing they used to cheat on was our afternoon tea.
Yeah.
They used to love that. No, there was one group that were always cheating. I bowled this ball straight off, come off the glove, wicket keeper. We're all, how's that? You know, no, he's out. Umpire goes, not out, off the glove. We said, yeah, well, that's out. He said, no, not out. cheat all the time. But 1-3-3-5-3, where have you had cheats in sport or in life? Give us a buzz. 1-3-3-5-3. We've got a double to go and see Bad Dreams. They're playing at the Bridgeway on Feb 19. You can get your tickets at cooperslocal.com.au.
Yeah, you can't cheat. Come on. Give us a call. 1-3-3-5-3. Expose the cheaters out there. Oh, let's expose the cheats, Roo. It's not on. This is after Patrick Reed, the golfer on the US Tour, cheated again. He's been caught several times.
Cards is another game lots of people cheat at. Yeah. Oh, shockers. Let's go to Fairview Park. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, yeah, thanks, good, Bob. Have you got a cheater on your hands?
I was playing golf one day and this new bloke is in the group. And everybody else stood back and said, well, you're marking his card. And I'm saying, well, what's going on here? We only get up the first, and I'm thinking, well, hang on, he's giving me his score. And I think, well, hang on, I think he's had more than that. But anyway, I let him go. And it kept on going. We got down to about the 17th hole, and he's got his ball up against a tree in his long grass. He's 5, 6, 7. I said, well, and then he says, oh, I end up getting a 6 for... 6-3 because he had 2 strokes on that hole.
Yeah.
And he turned around and said, well, what about those 5 strokes back there? Oh, no, they're all practice swings. Anyway, he did this all the way around the course and got to the last hole. I refused to sign his card. And I went to the captain and said, oh, I'm not signing his card. You speak to him. You do what you want. And apparently, he disqualified him from the game. And then... a couple of months later, he plays golf with his wife, and he won this seniors comp, and he won a big colour TV.
And his wife was buying the cars.
Yeah, right.
And then he got caught out, and he got disqualified from every golf club in Adelaide.
Wow. All right. Well, got his desserts in the end. Acker was accused of cheating last year, wasn't he?
He was, that's right.
He got barred from 3 golf courses.
He did 3 golf
we
courses
spoke to him.
In the one town, and he said they were all wrong.
You never get barred from anywhere.
That's a record. That takes a bit of beating.
They were all wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
I never cheated.
No. More calls in just a moment. 1-3-3-5-3.
Oh, we're talking about cheating at the moment, cheating at golf at the moment, because Patrick Reed's been caught again doing something very questionable. Let's go to Marion. G'day, Jimmy.
G'day, how are you?
You got a cheater on your hands?
Yeah. It's not a real sport. It's online gaming. You know, it's getting pretty big now and since COVID's closed down.
Yeah.
So me and a bunch of mates, we're all veterans, we're all injured veterans, and we made a group just on a game called Counter-Strike. So we started playing, getting pretty good at it. Now, We invited another guy. He said he was in the army. He said he was a commando and so on. So we invited him. Turns out, like, he was shooting through walls and all this stuff. Because you can do that on games nowadays. You can get right into it, pay for cheats online. A lot of money in it.
You can cheat. How do you cheat online, though? What do you mean?
Like when you can run around, it's in a first-person perspective, but he's, like, sees the enemy through the walls and stuff and shoots through walls. Like, it's a really big thing nowadays. It's really weird.
Okay.
So he was cheating on that. And there's a lot of money in this. There is lots of money in online gaming now, hundreds of thousands.
There's no online umpire, I take it?
No, not at all. Ever since COVID, nobody can really get together. The big teams used to have coaches and everything. Like, there's a big sports centers for this. But this guy was cheating online. Turns out we had a look at him up and he wasn't even a commando or everything. Everything he said was just a lie. Just a, he even pretended to have one leg. Just a loser at life. And
so have you moved him on?
Oh, we got rid of him straight away.
Sent him hopping.
Sent him hopping away on his pretend leg. Yeah.
He was hopping, man. Yeah. No, all right, good on you, Jimmy.
All right, let's go to Blackwood. G'day, Jason.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Jase.
Listen, I've got a golf story for you.
Yeah,
go. I got invited to a golf tournament years ago, and I was asked to take a friend, so I took a friend. and we're playing the game, and on the first hole, he didn't start off real flash. You know,
is this your mate?
Yeah, well, I don't really see much of him now, but
yeah.
And with a couple of tee shots, a few fairway shots, a couple of bunker shots, four putts, and he goes and tells everyone he got a five.
Don't they stand out when they do that?
I'm just thinking, well, I might be mistaken, you know, but that was a bit of a crappy hole.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, the story goes, he did it all the way through the 18 rounds. He's getting looked after. He's getting fed. He's getting beers. He's getting everything. But what was actually happening was someone was overseeing everyone's shot. So they were getting scored.
Right.
So he got pinged at the end of it.
Right.
This ridiculous score he come up with, and then they just bounced him and said, no, you didn't, mate.
Bounced him. Did he deny it? And... Or did he concede?
Yeah, and then
concede.
They got bounced. Yeah, just a joke. And all I can simply say, if you're playing any sport and you cheat, you're only cheating yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. Good on you, Jason.
Yeah. Well done, Jason. Get rid of the cheat, bro.
Unbelievable, aren't they? It must be, I don't know if you're born with
disease.
It or what. It's a disease.
Yeah.
Jason, you can go and have the double to go and see Bad Dreams at the Bridgeway on February 19. Get your tickets at cooperslocal.com.au.
Triple M's ruined tits for breakfast. The top three things you need to know.
We're speaking about Perth and the lockdown there for 5 days. The AFLW girls from Adelaide have been told they have to go straight into quarantine when they got home last night.
Yeah, that was a shock for them.
So they're in quarantine for 14 days as we speak. So that's going to throw the AFLW season into a bit of chaos, given that they're meant to be playing again this weekend. So the negotiations will start. Can we get out for a couple of hours a day to go to training? Can we go straight to West Lakes and back? And then what happens down there if they're training and the AFL men's side's down there training? So, that's going to cause a few hiccups in basketball, cricket.
Yep.
Big Bash is on over there as well, let alone all the general population of Perth. So, once again, from quarantine. When are they going to learn? And the bloke was an Uber driver. Haven't we been through this about quarantine security
having
guys
other jobs.
Having other jobs and everything?
Yep, for sure, definitely. Hey, Roo, the V8 supercars, we mentioned this a while ago. As you know, the government has decided that it will not go ahead any longer here in Adelaide, the Adelaide 500. Over the weekend, there was a rally, and a couple of our V8 supercar drivers got involved, so good on them. Nick Percat and Tim Slade.
I think it was disappointing for everyone in the industry. You know, no doubt it's the biggest and best event on the supercars calendar.
I see Frank Pangello was also involved in organising the rally.
Yes.
So Stop the Shonks, he got involved as well. And here's Peter Malinauskas, the leader of the opposition, his reaction to it all.
It made money for our state, it delivered jobs for our state, and that's exactly why I'm bringing it back if we win government.
Now, there are people that believe, well, certainly Stephen Marshall said it was on the way, numbers were dropping, it was losing money. But I said to you earlier this morning, Roo, I still think a sporting event that pulls in over a couple of 100,000 people is still very, very significant, and it's worth talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, the opposition are very keen. A lot of people out in society are very keen for it to come back. But will it? Probably only if Labor get in, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, well, they've made the promises.
Yes. So, good news there. The vaccinations have started big time in the UK, and they're working as well, Dits. They're starting to see a drop in rates from people who have had the vaccinations. So
Right. There's
been a lot of speculation that with all the different strains happening and the, I don't know how you say it, mutates, that the vaccine might not work. But it is working, so, and it's working in all different ages, from the over 80s down to the 20-year-old age group. They're having huge success. So at this stage, that is a big, big win, because if that didn't work, it might have been a worse 21 than 2020.
All right, now, something fishy going on at Subway. What's the story?
Well, you've been eating there the last week. You've had two tuna salads there in the last week.
But did I really?
Well, maybe not. They're saying there's a lawsuit against Subway.
Subway is facing a lawsuit in California over its tuna. The complaint says multiple independent lab samples prove the tuna is, quote, made from anything but tuna. It reportedly reveals the tuna is a, quote, mixture of various concoctions that does not even contain fish.
Well, can I have a concoction salad, please?
Yeah. So last week, in my quest to become lithe and thin and fit and looking magnificent, I went to Subway and had a tuna salad, Roo. Tasted like tuna, smelled like tuna.
So you're maybe joining it's only, this lawsuit.
No,
nah,
well, oh,
get your $6 back.
I didn't think of that. $6 for a salad. It's unbelievable. It's good value.
What, do you go there and sit by yourself?
Yeah. Self-isolation. What?
Where at? Where have you been?
Findon. On my way to golf, usually. On my way down to Grange. Go to the Findon Subway.
Yes, Chris. Same again.
Tuna salad.
Concoction and salad.
Oils ain't oils. Tuna is tuna. I don't know.
Subway couldn't do that.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm sure it's not happening here because it does. What if it's not tuna, what is it? Sure smells
isn't
like
the seafood extender. That's not the crab meat, is it?
No, you're right.
It's whale blubber, isn't it?
Yeah, you are right. Maybe it does happen. All right. We'll find out more. We'll investigate further.
Do that, Dits.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. Roo, let's go back to Friday. Big build-up to the one day of tennis down at Memorial Drive.
Yeah.
These international superstars, we're asking them to play two sets of tennis. That's all you got to do, roll up and play two sets of tennis. And the stadium's packed and the promoter has gone to great lengths to organise Channel 9 to be there and television rights. And they've sold all the tickets, all the fans at the stands are full.
15 minutes it took to sell it out.
15 minutes it sold out. And all of a sudden, one of the main draw cards, world number one, Novak Djokovic pulls out, right? So is there a death in the family? Is there, I don't know, has he torn his ACL? Has he broken a leg? Has he torn a hamstring? No, he's got a blister. Blister on his hand. Now, I would have thought, how many tennis rackets has he held in his lifetime and how many balls has he hit? Do you reckon you've had the odd blister in your day? Do you reckon you're accustomed to having blisters for a start? I would have thought the answer to that is yes. Having played a racket sport myself, nothing like he has, but I reckon blisters are part and parcel with the profession.
Push through the pain barrier?
I think with a blister, push through it a little bit, love.
Maybe even pop it.
Put a little bit, pop it.
Put a bit of tape.
Yeah, put a little bit of taping on it.
Maybe even a glove.
Now, I ask the question then, how bad was it when he pulled out and yet an hour later, when he saw, oh, hang on, I might have upset a couple of people here. He arrives as the hero. It's like Superman coming back from the dead. And he walks out and says, I'll tell you what, I'll play the second set of tennis.
He's going to substitute here. He's going to play part of this set or all of it. We're not sure how long yet. But so good to see him out here. Gee, he looks fit, doesn't he?
It was just amazing to see him come out.
Is that Fitzy?
That's my mate Fitzy, who is always a diplomat. No, and good on him. Good on him. Because you can
what was he saying off mic?
I don't know, but you can go one of two ways. You could just launch into him, which I'm sort of doing now, or you can go the positive line. And Fitzy's always a positive man and a real gentleman. But to me, the tennis players get away with this far too often. They really do. They just let you down.
He's had a bad couple of years, Novak, hasn't he?
Hasn't been good.
We smacked the ball at the line.
Yes, that didn't go too well.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah.
That wasn't too good.
Yeah.
He had his own tournament, didn't he, last year?
Yes, and everyone had COVID, but he said, no, bugger it.
He got COVID.
Yeah. So a bit odd. And just my other favourite story over the last few days about the tennis players, can't put them all in one bracket. There are some real, real good ones. I mean, to the day I die, will tell you how brilliant I think Roger Federer is, for example, as a person, as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
But Craig Tiley, who's the tournament director of the Australian Open, has actually come out on the ABC over the weekend and talked about some of the weird things he's been asked, the requests that he's had from these tennis players in isolation.
Yeah.
Now, we know that Novak himself wrote a letter, a list of
demands.
Demands, if you don't mind.
Get us out of the hotels and get as many houses with tennis courts as you can.
Come on, just go around and buy them all up if you could. In all the rich suburbs around Australia. You can do that for us, surely. Even though we're only going to be here for 2 weeks, but buy all that real estate for us. Anyway, one player has asked for a kitten.
Hang on.
A player in isolation has rung or emailed Craig Tiley, the Australian Open director, and said, I'd love to have a kitten,
please. What are they
going
to do with a kitten?
Oh, who knows?
What, to play with in the room or something, to pass the time away?
Yeah. How precious and stupid and pathetic are these people?
How was Craig Tiley for even saying that?
How out of touch? Well, I think he had to expose that because that's just ridiculous. How out of touch are these people? Seriously. Unbelievable.
That's got to be taking the mickey.
No, no, he was serious. It's up there with Bernard's girlfriend.
You sure
saying,
he didn't want to go to Kittens?
Oh,
the nightclub in Melbourne.
Now you've got a point here. Did we lose something in the translation?
I think we might have. Maybe.
Oh,
we
okay.
Get out and go to.
Oh,
Kittens.
Well, that I understand then. Mm. Sorry, I take it all back.
Yeah,
I'm with that tennis player now.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, they haven't had a very good couple of days.
No, they're not. He got flogged in that set of tennis he played too, didn't he?
Oh, he had a blister. Yeah, he's up.
It's hard to play.
Come on.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here!
Right, it all came to a climax last night, Roo.
Yes, and Grant Denyer didn't get the chocolates, but he was one of the stars of the show, and he joins us now. Good morning, Grant.
Hey, Roo. Hey, Dits. How are you, boys?
you sound like you're still on a high.
Mate, might be slightly hungover. Went to bed about 4 a.m. But it's as the Shannon Knoll of this competition, it's lovely to chat to you.
Oh, good stuff. You said it changed your life. How and why?
First and foremost, can I just say, you said it's the biggest show of the year. Can I just point out that it's the 1st of February?
Yeah, you've had a big month. You've had a big month, though.
You've beaten everyone in January.
You're in front. You got your nose in front. Just keep it there, will you? Hey, you've got Married at First Sight coming up. You've got
Holy Moly.
Australian Great Race or whatever it's called. Yeah, I saw it promoted about a million times during your show. Amazing race. That's
yeah, it's true. It is coming up. Mm. If you ever watched the I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here show, you would have known through the 57,000 ads that happened. The Amazing Race is coming up. Yeah, mate, it was an incredible experience. I just thought that this is just a TV show, you know, where you go on and then, you know, when the lights turn down at night time, you know, they take you back to the Sofitel and the Tim Tams start coming out. But, mate, you literally close your eyes on the show and the snakes are under your bed, the rats are on your bed digging through your hair. It was hardcore.
And that only happened for Warnie, mate. Like, he got the smokes and got everything when the lights went out. But
can I just point out, Warnie, you know, Australia's most, you know, famous person ever, and I think he only finished 5th or 6th, mate. You're talking to second place.
Yeah.
So get on board.
On the podium.
Hey, what about this Pamela Anderson story? Dits and I nearly fell off my chair. You've knocked back Pamela Anderson.
Mate, this is my most humiliating story of my life. and my wife will back me on this. Pamela Anderson hit me up and she was in Australia doing a promotional tour and I was the last interview of her day and she's like, hey, you're pretty cute. Do you want to come to a party with me? And 15-year-old me just had a heart attack and she had a look in her eye that was like, I think I'm going to rip you apart. And I got scared and I said, no, I won't go. And my wife's like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, Grant, at the time, the quote you used as well was, I have to get my flight. Now, just look at the flight timetables. There's more than one flight a week to Sydney. You would have been okay. You could have got on the next flight.
Good point.
Yeah.
And my voice was kind of like this. I'm sorry, Mrs. Anderson. I can't. I don't know what happened to me. And my mates have never let me forget this.
No.
And my wife was like, because we both had a picture of Pamela Anderson on our wall as teenagers, and she's like, "Mate, this is the what were you thinking?"
Yeah, you're stuffed up. Hey, while you were in the jungle, she got married for the 5th time. She just married her bodyguard, so she moves on pretty quickly, anyway, mate.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to break the news to you.
Mate,
she's not watching. I'm a celebrity.
Well, if she played the cards right, she could have had an ex-weatherman. So, who's laughing now?
Hey, were you more scared of her or Dipper?
Dipper is a force to be reckoned with, and I know why he was such a feared man on the field in like the 1989 grand final is because he can turn into a wild unit if you ever challenge him. And stupid me, he burnt the rice one day.
Yeah,
and all we got to do is live for rice, right? And
rice
he burnt
and
the rice, and I told him, mate, you can't do that. Mm. And then, geez, he nearly ripped my head off.
Yeah.
You woke the bear,
mate. Oh my God, Jesus! I you know what? His eyes turned black, and I was like, he's just transgressed into his footy playing days. And I thought he was just literally going to rip a couple of ribs out. Like, he was hardcore.
Hey, he also opened up a bit about when you tried to get off the painkilling drugs that you had when you broke your back and you had a bit of a tough time getting off the painkillers. And you said at one stage when you were sort of coming down, you pelted eggs at your wife. Explain what sort of state you were in to do that.
Yeah, it was really hard, mate. Look, that's the thing. Often, you know, when you hurt yourself, the hospital will treat the injury, but and then they sort of kick you out of the hospital and give you all these hardcore pain meds, but don't sort of really give you an education as to what to expect or how to handle them. And mate, it was an ugly period of our life, and I crashed off the pain meds, and that kind of really led to a you know, it's tough. You know, your body's in withdrawal, and you know, I said things to my wife that I'm really still to this day, you know, not proud of. And it was, you know, she was good because she kind of, you know, she sort of knew that it was going to be a hard period. But when you're in withdrawal and you're in a lot of pain, you know, I remember sort of being in a bit of a delirious state where I sort of just didn't know where I was and what I was doing, and you know, such is the pain meds. And I remember, I grabbed eggs and unfortunately threw them at that particular point, and it's horrible. So I try and talk about it because there's so many people that are on pain medication, you know, 5 years after an injury.
How long were you on them for, Grant?
Oh, it was only a couple of months because I still wanted to get back into a race car and keep racing. But yeah, it was tough, mate. I went missing in the middle of the night in my undies down the street in, wow. In the CBD of Sydney.
Wow.
Yeah, looking for scotch, and I fell asleep in a fire escape. So it was, you know, that were tough times. But you know, that's life. That's what happened.
Yeah. Well, you helped make the show. There's no doubt about it. It was their biggest show of this year, Grant, as you've pointed out, up until February 1. Huge stuff it is, and mate, well done. Very entertaining, and thanks for being so honest and opening up to everyone as well. Fantastic.
Rude Dits, mate, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for having
me. Grant Denyer, Ruin Dits on Triple M.
To start 2021, Ruin Dits are giving Adelaide the chance to do something they've never done before. We present Triple M's 40-year-old virgins. Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters.
This has been going really well, Roo. I can tell you our 40-year-old virgins have been having a great time.
Yep.
Where are we going to today?
We are going to Evanston Park, Dits. We've got Shay on the line. G'day, Shay.
Good morning. How are you?
George, you're up and about this morning.
Up and about.
What do you do, Shay?
I work at the chemist outlet in Gawler.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Good on you. What's your boss's name?
Mark Rabia.
G'day, Mark. Look after Shay. She sounds like a ripper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you like to do in the 40-year-old virgin contest?
Well, I really like to go backstage at a concert. I've never sort of, I've always wondered what it's like backstage at music festivals. Okay. Yeah.
It's got to be confidential what you see on the backstage. What happens
on tour stays on tour.
All right. Yep,
that's exactly
that, Shay.
Right. Yep, for that.
Yeah. And don't you become one of the stories either.
I can't promise.
Beautiful.
All right. Any sort of concert you want to go to? Yeah. Or?
Something at Adelaide Oval.
Oh, we got something coming up at the Adelaide Oval.
We've got a whole weekend.
Anyone in particular?
I'm going to see Guns N' Roses later in the year.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anything really.
All right.
Well, tell you what, coming up, only because we want to get it done soon, because we don't want you to have to sleep and, you know, lay awake until November.
Be a virgin all year.
Yeah. What about the Zep Boys and the Masters Apprentices?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that'd be great.
Yeah. VIP backstage. All right, you'll be back there.
Well, you know the lead singer.
Yeah,
you know
Vince and all the boys at the Zep Boys, they are fantastic. And you got the Masters Apprentices who are legends of Australian rock and roll. So
yes, they are.
What if we tee that up?
That would be fantastic.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Done.
I'm wearing a Led Zeppelin T-shirt.
Oh, really?
Oh,
there
Shay,
you go. You'll love it. There you go. All right. We'll organise it for you.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Good on you, Shay.
I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, please do. Hey, Triple M presents the return of live music too with the Weekend of Rock. This is at the Adelaide Oval from the 19th to the 21st of Feb. Tickets on sale now at Ticketek starting from $79 per night. So Shay's off to see the Zep Boys and the Masters Apprentices.
How good's that? And that's all thanks to Automasters. Stay cool with Automasters and give them a call on 1300 Automasters.